Yeah, welcome back. Now, what do we got? We got a social dilemma here, which I thought was interesting from a listener. And I'm going to read this out to you very briefly. And it says, "Hi, Niall. I have a really tough dilemma for your show." That was tough as some of the ones I've heard in this show. "I'm married to my husband for 7 years, and we've got two children who are 4 and 6 years of age. My husband's mother died a few weeks ago. God bless her. And it was a shock to all of us. She was young enough and died unexpectedly of serious complications in her health. Anyway, as you can imagine, my husband was devastated, as we all were. Since the funeral, myself and my husband are at loggerheads over decisions that I made at the time. And I know he's struggling with grief, but he's making a really big deal over the fact that I would not let my children go to the family home to see the open casket. At the time, he was insisting that he brought the children, but I left them with my sister to mind, and we went over on our own. They went to the funeral, all right, and into the church, but I drew the line of them seeing their granny or dead. I wanted them to remember her the way she was and not like the way she is now. My husband said it's a traditional thing, but I can honestly say that I think it's a horrible thing to do to a child. And I remember I was brought to one of my aunt's funerals when I was young, and I still have nightmares to this day, and I'm in my late 30s. He said they will regret not seeing or saying their last goodbye to their granny, and that I can blame myself for that in years to come. And he's been really nasty and mean about it over the last couple of weeks. Anyway, I was wondering how your listeners feel and if they feel the same way." Now, it is an interesting topic. And I remember many, many years ago having a girl on the air who on radio who told me that she had been, when she was a child, only 6 or 7, to see her father who had died when she was very young. And she said she regrets to this day the fact that her mother brought her to see the open casket with her father in it, because she had nightmares about it forever. But I don't know what you think about it. Is it a good idea? Some people think it is a good idea to have a child have an understanding of death at a young age. Or is that a bad idea? Let me know. The number is 085 122 55. There's the number on the screen. 085 122 55. Let me go to Anna if I can. Anna, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you, Nat?
I'm good, Anna. Anna, is it a good idea?
Well, particularly in our family, we only have wakes. And everybody's invited. It's an open house. All the kids go. We have no problem with it whatsoever. Mm. When my grandmother died, my child was 1 year old at the time. Sure. Nanny was sitting in the sitting room. Well, she was in our bed in the sitting room. And my child was sitting beside her.
And did they have an understanding of death? Did they understand it?
Well, yes, because I explained to my kids when they were small that Holy God just takes the sick and people who are really tired and they can't go on, and Holy God looks after them, you know, and then they're rejuvenated when they get into heaven. They're, you know, there's no broken bones, there's no nothing, you know, he rejuvenates them. So that's what goes on in our family. My sister waits for her child. She died of cancer. Now, that was an open house for everybody, you know, neighbours, you know, people who knew the family but didn't know the child. That was an open house for, I think it was 2 days. And then she just went to the church. Now, everybody in the area, all the kids and all came, you know what I mean?
I remember when I was a kid too, I remember being brought to, I think it was my granny or my granddad, I can't remember. But I found it quite traumatic. And I remember, I think it was my dad says, "Go over and give your granny a kiss." You know, this kind of cold body. And, you know, it's not something that I would have enjoyed doing as a child. And it's like giving your auntie a kiss at Christmas, you know what I mean? Who has a mustache. So it's not something I wanted to do. And I do remember it had a kind of profound effect. I don't know if children are able for that. Maybe I'm wrong.
You see, all you have to say is the person is in a deep sleep this season. That's all you say to kids.
Ah, but then we're kind of taking them for fools, really. I mean, I don't think they're stupid. I think they know they're dead. Like, a 6 and a 7-year-old understands what dying means.
Oh, yeah. They know the person is dead, but you just pass it off as they're in a deep sleep. Like, you know, it's normal, so they're not terrified, you know?
Yeah.
I've no problem with it, and I'll be raped as well.
Yeah.
When I go.
It's got a tradition in your family to do the open casket thing, is it? Yeah.
Well, literally, I thought it was a normal thing, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think everyone does it. Some people do it. I don't think everyone does it.
Yeah, no, no. You just have to explain to kids, you know, they're gone, they're dead, and holy God, and they're terrified of death. But then you have to explain to them that there's nothing wrong with them, just in a deep sleep. They're gone to heaven, and they'll be rejuvenated up there, because they think, oh, a scary place, where are they going? Are they going in the hole in the ground? Are they going to, what happens to them? You have to explain to the kids where they're going after. And once they realise granny, granddad, auntie, uncle is going to a better place, it's less traumatic, I think.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
Good. Well, there you go. Anna said you have to explain where they're going. Don't tell them they're going into an oven, but you have to explain where they're going. And, you know, and they have a kind of childish understanding of it, and it's not a big deal.
Well, I can understand about tradition in the country and certain families that go down through the years that wake somebody in a house or a bed, or you wake them in the kitchen in a coffin. But I think 4 and 6 years of age, and that man's children, his wife done the right thing to protect them. They're too young to see a dead body or the nanny in a coffin. Jesus, that would traumatise them, you know?
Mm.
They'd be fearful. I think the best thing to do to give a child is a little figurine, like I said to your researcher, of an angel. And say, your nanny is an angel in heaven now. She's going to watch over you. She's got her wings, and she's gone to heaven now. And you have an angel.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can say a little prayer at night time to your nanny, and she'll watch over you, and she'll watch over the family, and make sure that we're all safe. So it's a positive, good thing that you're not getting too technical about God dying and going over to the spirit world, but a little angel with wings on it.
But you wouldn't bring them in and show them the body.
No, it's too traumatic. Not for 4 and 6 years of age. It's a horrible thing to do to a child, to show them a dead man.
Anna, he says it's a horrible thing to do to a child.
It's just a terrible thing for a child to have to look at and say, there's your nanny, look. And they have a happy memory of her sitting in a chair, hugging them and playing with them.
Sorry, Anna.
Look, as I said, some families have wakes, some families don't. You know, some families are okay with it. My kids saw their own granddad dead in the coffin. You know, there's no problem with it. You know, what's the problem with seeing a dead person that you love?
Yeah, sorry, Mars.
They're too young. They're too young, 4 and 6 years of age. A child under 10 should not see a person dead in a coffin. And, you know, I've seen bodies over the time, and I've seen people that have crossed peacefully, and I've seen people that have had hard deaths. And there's a totally different person in the coffin, regardless of how they've gone.
Yeah, they don't kind of look the same. Yeah, they tend not to look the same.
No. Yeah. And I've seen somebody that had a really hard crossing that was afraid of dying and fought all the way till the end. And the contortion on their face, it was just horrific. And then I saw somebody that accepted what was happening to them and died peacefully and went over, and it's just a smile on their face. So there is different ways of dying. But I think children of that age, it's like showing them a horror movie. It's like sitting them down in front of a telly and Frankenstein appears in front of them, because that's what horror is to a child. Seeing Frankenstein or seeing Dracula, and especially somebody lying in a box, if they contribute with Dracula or something like that. But if you give them a figurine of their nanny or their granddad, of an angel with wings, and saying you have a special person in heaven now that's going to look after you and mind you for the rest of your life, and you can say a little prayer at night time and she'll hear you. What a lovely thing to give the child, rather than traumatising them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of balancing between the two of you here, but you know, Anna, I am kind of hedging slightly on Morris's side because of my own experience.
Oh, no, I want to say to that man, my sister's daughter was 5. When she died, 4 and a half, just shortly before I did it. She died of cancer. We had a wake. The whole community went to it. Children, the whole lot. Her own kids were 8 and 9, and then she had a little one that was younger than 5. She was there. The coffin was in the sitting room, and the last to leave, there was a queue of hundreds of people saying their last goodbyes to that child. Her own sisters nailed the coffin shut.
Jesus.
That was the sister they loved. They understand she had a hard time with the cancer, and then death comes. So are you going to say those kids are traumatized because they saw their sister dead? No, they're not. It was all explained to them. Death comes to many people, and unfortunately some people go before their time. They're not traumatized. If my sister didn't have a wake, it would have been different. You know, it would have been a different thing altogether. But But I say they love that it did happen, and that's the way it happened. Three small kids saying goodbye to their sister. Everybody had a nail, and they nailed the coffin.
Everybody had a nail. They had like a nail each.
They did that in that sitting room on their own. We headed off, and that was their moment then.
Jeepers, Boris, they all had a nail each, and they all put a nail into the coffin each.
To say goodbye, yeah. So they were making sure that their sister was gone, and that was the last thing they did for her on Earth. I can understand that. Mm. But, you know, let's see what the memories in them children get older and say, well, how did you feel about what went on at the funeral? If they have happy memories, I'm fine. Each to their own. But I would definitely not bring a 4 and a 6-year-old to see their nanny or their granddad lying dead in the coffin.
Okay, just hang on for a second there. Let me just go to, stay there, Morris, for a second. Let me just go to Deirdre as well. Deirdre, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Deirdre, hi, what do you want to say?
So I would agree with, I understand the natural inclination to want to shield our children from something like death, but fundamentally it's part of life. Children have a wonderful resilience, and in my own experience as a child, when we all remember when our grandparents die, and we had a wake in our home, and death was something very natural. And I think when you are exposed to it, it becomes natural, and the fear and the anxiety is removed around it. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to have that conversation.
Mm. Yeah, it's totally different now. No, I remember growing up as a kid, I'm in the same area as you. I was born in the 60s into a large Catholic family. And I remember elderly people dying on my parents' road when I was a kid. And the curtains were drawn for a week. There was a notice put on the door.
Yeah. Do you remember they used to put sheets over the mirrors and all sorts of things? Yeah.
Yeah, the family wore black, and then the husband or the wife wore a diamond of black sleeve for over a month or a year until the nun's mind mass was done. So death was dark, doom and gloom in the 60s for children. It might be a little bit better now to explain to them the different things.
I think we deal with grief slightly differently now than we did. Yes, those traditions, a lot of those traditions like putting sheets over mirrors and all that kind of thing, that's kind of, a lot of that's gone now, apart from some communities.
Yeah.
But I'm understanding what Deirdre's saying. But Deirdre, I'm still coming back to what Morris is saying. Leaving aside traditions, leaving aside some people decide to have the body in the house, some people don't. They go to a funeral home, whatever, right? The idea of a young child of 6 years of age who knows what death is, they know people die, but don't really understand the idea of a dead body. You know, and I've spoken to people throughout the years, some people are traumatised by that.
No, I've not been traumatised. Look, as a parent, we're the adult, so we understand better where our children are at psychologically and emotionally, but have the conversation. You know, we are not doing justice. We're doing an in-service to children by not making this part and parcel of life. We can't shield them from this. And it's not traumatizing.
That's a bit unfair, because there's a lot of things we shield children from until that we believe they're old enough to understand it. You know, there's lots of things we shield them from. And this particular email we got is from a woman who decided not to let her 4 and 6-year-old go to her husband's mother's open casket, when she was laid out in the mother's house.
Yeah.
Now, they went to the funeral, all right, but she didn't want to. And the husband now has a bit of a, you know, bone of contention with her, and they're obviously arguing over this. He's upset that she didn't let the kids go. But the kids are 4 and 6, so she's a mother who knows her own children, and felt that wasn't right for them. I don't see anything wrong with that. But he says she's going to regret it.
Maybe so. And I think maybe the father also was right, you know. Maybe he knows his children, and maybe they should have had a conversation. You don't have to force the child to do anything, but give them the option. Say, look, there's Nan or Grandad. Look, they're gone to sleep. Explain. But that it's okay, that this is okay to remove. You as an adult can kind of lead the way. You show that you're not anxious, that there's no anxiety about this. You know, that is a healthier way to deal with it, you know, as opposed to, you know, I think you have to expose children to this, but do it in
why?
In a way
but why
that,
do you? Okay, you're saying you have to expose them. Morris believes that you shouldn't expose a child to, you know, obviously seeing a dead body until they're at least 10. He said you might as well be letting them watch a Frankenstein or Dracula movie on the telly.
No. No, look, we are the adults. We deal with this in a healthy way. We're surrounded by death. We're surrounded by life. It's part of the cycle. And I think we need to remove some of the fear factor around us. Maybe we're projecting our own fear and anxiety about death onto children. Let's give them the option. Make it a healthy thing. This is part of life. Mm-hmm. Animals die, people are dying. And remove the fear factor for children.
I'm 100% with you about explaining to children at a reasonably young age, about death in the nicest appropriate way, obviously, for a child. Mm-hmm. About people going to sleep or going off to heaven, if that's your belief or whatever, right? I'm all for that and explaining it to them that they won't be coming back, and don't be leaving them under some sort of false sense of security that they're coming back again. And you have to be honest with children. But it's the physicality of them seeing a body. And I remember, sure, even as an adult, I'm really uncomfortable with it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay, well, that's your... Yeah. See, the thing is, I have young children. So my youngest is 7, okay? And I've had those conversations with my children. And if there was a funeral and there was an open casket, I would say, look, I would explain to him, this is where Nan is or whoever, and I would not force them up there. But I said, look, if you want to see, I would explain to them what is in the casket before the actual funeral. But if the child wants to approach their grandparents, I would let them do that, mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier on, like when I was, I think it was my granny's, and I said it to Morris there, but my mom or my dad said, oh, go over and give your granny a kiss on the forehead. I'll never forget it. I didn't like it at all. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I find that a bit strange myself. But, I would go over. I would, look at the casket. See the person is there. That's still the body. Explain that. This is who they are. This is where they're at now. But it's okay. And maybe there is a peace about that, But I think it's look healthy. Remove the fear factor. Remove and have the conversation.
Okay, but do me a favour. Stay there for a second, Deirdre. Let me bring Sandy in. Sandy, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
I'm grand. Grand. Yeah, when my mother passed away, maybe 3 years ago, we never... it was our own choice that we didn't want the younger children there because I... to the other caller, right, you don't have to force the children to be there to see the body. I call it the body.
Yeah, well, that's because, what it is. Yeah.
It is, being realistic, because, when the body is decomposing, yourself, like, when you go to touch that body, it's horrible. Like, when my mother was laid out in the sitting room as well, I'm 50 now. It was horrible. It was traumatizing for me. Not because she was my mother, but to see a body in the sitting room in a coffin. That is traumatizing for me as an adult. So imagine what that would be like for a child. You can sit down and then you can explain it to them, this and that and the other. But when they were closing the coffin, the funeral director said, look, do you want to be here when we close it? We went, no, we go outside. Because the way that the coffin was in the sitting room, they had to close it and then lift the coffin up, and it would have been horrible.
Yeah, very, very awkward. Yeah. Okay, but Deirdre says you have to be honest. But Deirdre is saying you have to be open and honest with a child and let them understand what's going on. And for that reason, there's no harm in children seeing granny or granddad or mam or dad or whoever it is, laid out in the front room in a coffin.
I don't think so. No, because even when I lost my daughter, going back, 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me. pardon me. But she passed away in the hospital. We had to let her go. And my young fella said to me at the time, Mommy, why didn't you let me see her? And I did. I regretted it. But I said it wasn't a place for him. He was only 3 at the time.
His
to
sister.
See
yeah.
a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my father, even carrying the coffin, it broke his bloody heart. Because he'd never seen, a passed on baby being a flightless ailment. But for a 4 to a 6 year old,
You just didn't think it was appropriate.
I, no, I don't think it's appropriate, in my own opinion. But other people, they can, you know, have their own choices or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, Deirdre, why, obviously every day is a different view of it. That's what the show is all about. People have different views on things. You know, that she did,
yeah,
just didn't feel...
Yeah,
I mean, Deirdre, in Sandy's case, and I'm sorry to hear that, by the way, Sandy, that you lost a baby at a very young age, that she didn't think, yeah, was appropriate for, you know, her son, which would have been the brother of the little baby, to see the baby dead.
Yeah.
Look,
what do you think about that?
In our own family, we had a relative of mine died relatively young and suddenly, and she had two young children who were under the age of six, and they saw their mother before she died, before the life support was switched off, and they saw her after she had died. Okay. And again, you know, death is a very tough time for a family. It's exhausting, and we all came together as a family and we saw this as we couldn't avoid it. This was part of life. It wasn't it was a very difficult time, and we made the decision that you know, the children had to see their mother, you know. And now, many years later, they're actually thankful that they had that opportunity. And we took a positive approach about it. You know, it's a difficult thing. Nobody wants to see their loved one in a coffin. But it is part of our life. And I think, you know the children that you have the conversation, have it ongoing, have it, you know, frequent enough. Like I said, we never know what's around the corner. And I think children are fantastic. They have a beautiful way of seeing the world. I think resilience is a very important thing for children. We can't shield them all the time. Life has ups and downs, and children need to be exposed to that.
Can I ask you, what do you do, by the way, from a relationship point of view, when you've got a husband who wants the children to see, but you have a wife who doesn't? So how do you resolve that one?
I would have the conversation with my husband, and I would, you know, try to come to some...
I think she did. She said, look, they'll go to the funeral, they can go to everything else, but I just don't want them going to your mum's house where the body is.
Maybe have the conversation with the children and give them the option. Explain to them what's there. And
Deirdre, but you don't give children of 4 and 6 an option. They don't really have an understanding. There's a lot of adult things that we don't give children an option on, because they just say yes.
I would explain to my 6-year-old. I would say to my 6-year-old, I'd say, look, Nan has died or someone has died, and this is where we're going, you know. And if you want to see Nan, she's in the coffin and I will hold your hand, you know. But it looks like Nan is asleep, or, you know, I would explain it. You know, I wouldn't ask them.
Can I ask you a question, sweetheart?
Yes, yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
When your nanny that was in the hospital at the time?
Yeah.
Yes.
When your nanny was in the hospital at the time and they were turned off the machine, did you say that the children were there at the time?
Yes, they were there, yes, before the machine
I apologize. So how did the children feel, you know, seeing all the wires and everything, and then the machine being turned off?
Well, the wires were emergency. The wires, the staff at the hospital are fantastic, and they have such fantastic,
They are, in fairness, Sandy, they're quite sensitive about how they deal with situations.
It was all done very delicately. You know, you have to do it
I've never been in.
What's the point you want to make, Sandy? They were there, obviously, when the lady was allowed to pass away. So what was the point you're trying to make there? Sorry.
My question was, how did they feel with all this kind of thing going on? Did they understand exactly what was going on at the time?
They understood that their mom wasn't coming back, you know. And that this was happening, that she was going to heaven. This was explained, that she was not coming back. And, again, it was, you know, we were trying to take, we couldn't shield them from this. We couldn't shield them from the reality of what was happening.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Maureen, actually. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Maureen. Niall, how are you?
Good, Maureen. You know what? Look, a lot of people think it's a good idea, but a lot of people also think it's a bad idea, because children are too young. You know what I mean? I mean, you wouldn't let children watch death on television, so why let them watch death in reality, I suppose, is the question, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you see, I believe in allowing children to see either a grandmother, a grandfather, uncle, aunt, even mother, whatever it is, because death, to me, is part of life's circle. So, for example, like some parents have home births. They have a pool. All the family are around. They're witnessing new life. Now, one could say that could be traumatic for a child.
It is traumatic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Childbirth can be traumatic to witness.
It can. So other people will say, well, you shouldn't expose them to that. Well, you should, because that's the beginning of life. Death is just the end of life. And let them see them and let them have their final goodbye. Because they get us adults actually underestimate children an awful lot in a lot of things.
But a lot of adults wouldn't allow a child of, say, four or six to watch a childbirth.
I agree with that.
To watch childbirth.
They wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
No.
But for me, I would think that's a marvellous experience because they're witnessing the beginning of life.
I don't know about that now, you know, because even as adults, you know, I don't think sometimes it's not a marvellous experience.
But let them witness it. I mean, if it's a girl, boy or girl, they may be parents someday themselves.
I mean, I've had this conversation before in relation to childbirth, for example, you know, and, you know, with men, primarily on the air, a lot of them say it's not a spectator sport. But it can be quite horrific and traumatic for a woman having the baby and for somebody witnessing it. So, I don't always agree some families are okay, but that's fine. But for a 4 or 6 year old, I don't know.
Well, the way I look at it now, children are going to be exposed to a lot worse the way this world is going.
Absolutely, they will be, but there's a time and a place, isn't there?
Why shield them from the natural cycle of life, birth and death?
Mm.
Mm.
Makes no sense.
I teach them.
No,
I understand what you're both saying, but I think, you keep saying, you know, and you're saying it as well, Maureen, that, you know, you can't keep them. But of course, you can keep them away from things.
No, you do. No, you can't.
But there's a lot of things we don't let children see.
Yes, but
I don't want to go to the extreme. Having sex is the most natural thing in the world, but you don't do it in front of your children. Do you know what I mean?
No.
But so what I'm saying is, a lot of things are quite natural, but we don't let our children see them.
Yeah, but you're preparing them for life, actually, is what you're doing when it comes to either birth or death.
And you're right. Absolutely, prepare them for life. But at 4 or 6 years of age, we decide what parts of life they need to be prepared for at different times in their life.
Yes, but even at 4 or 6, Niall, if you can go back into the memory bank, and you can, because our brain is like a computer, you can draw up memories.
Mm.
Down the line, they may not thank you for it.
No,
we don't know. As I said, we underestimate children.
I mentioned this at the start of the show. I did a radio show on this about 6-7 years ago, and I had people come on, adults, who said they were traumatized. Then one woman said she had nightmares for the rest of her life because she was brought in to see her granny in a coffin.
Well, that may happen to some people. That isn't to say it happens to everybody. You cannot shield children from everything, and especially those two aspects of life, which is birth and death.
Mm.
In my opinion.
Look, no, I agree, and nobody wants
to take the gamble.
Part.
You're taking a gamble there, aren't you? Yeah, go on. Sorry, Deirdre.
No.
Well, life's a gamble,
nobody, Nile. Yeah, look, you know, like, again, we are the adults. Nobody wants to traumatise anybody. So do it in an age-appropriate way, you know. There's only, you just want to expose them, introduce them to, this is part of a natural life process. You know, nobody lives forever, sooner or later. We are going to have to be introduced to death, and do this in a healthy way. Do this in a nice, healthy way. Be there for your children. Hold their hand. Explain to them what is happening. You know, you're only introducing them, you know, to something that is very natural, and they'll take your cue from you.
Okay, well, do me a favor, both of you. Stay there for a second. And Joseph, how about you in a second? Just let me just go to John. John, hi, how are you?
I'm glad when I was young and I was a child, I wasn't exposed to childbirth because I would probably be so traumatized I would probably be a virgin today.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, I mean, this idea, I wouldn't call it there, of like the kids, like, I mean, putting the nails, each gun a nail out of school.
To put it in the coffin. Kind of, yeah.
I mean, Jesus, I mean, that's Hammer House of Horror stuff, like, in my book.
It wouldn't be my cup of tea now, in fairness, but obviously people have different traditions, haven't they? Yeah.
But,
you hand out a nail to everybody in the room and they all get to hammer a nail in.
It's white wood for everyone in the audience, is it? I don't know,
yeah.
But 4 and 6, I think, is way too young. Look, you can explain the whole ins and outs of it, whatever, but I think seeing the person laid out, I, to this day,
don't like seeing
a person laid out. I usually go, if anyone I know, unless there's someone really, really, really close now, I will go while the coffin is open, but I try and avoid it if possible. I just go to the funeral, which is the last respect. So I think really, you know, you're there at the
gate. Well, that's respectful. You don't see it there. Just a box.
I just don't like. I find it.
But Maureen says it's the most natural thing in the world. You know, birth and death, and we should be preparing children for it.
Well, there is that, but I think, like, even as a grown adult now, I mean, and I've seen a good few people, unfortunately, like, I mean, go. I still, when you see the person in the box, like, you're almost saying, like, why don't they wake up? I mean, it might sound childish now from some of my age, but I find it kind of surreal looking at this person, and it's almost they still look perfect, but they're not, but they're dead, they're gone, there's no life there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I certainly wouldn't expose that to a 4 or 5 year old, like, I definitely wouldn't, like, no.
Yeah. So, see, there you go, Maureen. A lot of people, you know, wouldn't expose their child to that, you know?
Well, that's other people. I would, because I believe in teaching children. I don't believe in wrapping them up in cotton wool, especially when it comes to life cycles.
I know you're saying you don't believe in wrapping them up in cotton wool, but there are certain things that we need to wrap them up in cotton wool from.
I'll give you an example. I'm not wrapping up children. Before the repeal of the 8th Amendment, of course, I was for saving the 8th Amendment, as you know.
Yeah.
I was minding my granddaughter. She'd be 12 in May. The eldest one.
Yeah.
She was the 6 at the time. And she was sitting down, she was watching something, some people owned a program on TV, so I said, I'll go and do something. I didn't realise, I got kind of engrossed in it, I was looking at something, these pictures came up and there was a child pulled apart. I didn't realise that she had come beside me and she was at my shoulder. And she said, Nana, that's a baby. I said, it is. And I said, oh, she, what, I, you know, I had to think on my feet, as you say. What happened? And I explained.
I know you didn't intentionally.
She wasn't traumatized.
Okay, and that's fair enough, Maureen. And I know you didn't intentionally show her the photographs. But I would never, in a million years, and you know my feelings on abortion, I don't believe it's morally right. Yeah. But in a million years, I would never show a 6-year-old a picture like that. I just wouldn't.
But the point about it is that she wasn't traumatized.
That's fine, but she could have been. She could have been.
She could have been. But the question she asked me was, do people do that, Nana? I said,
Here's the thing. Would you show a child a picture of a person blown up in a bomb? With their limbs scattered all over the road.
If I had to explain a situation, yes, I would have no problem in that.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes,
Maureen.
I would.
You wouldn't, Maureen.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, look, you see, people process grief in a different way as well, too. It's all part of the whole cycle of grief and death, all that.
Mm.
Even adults, I mean, find it very hard sometimes. People get over it after a couple of months and just kind of put it to one side, not forget. Or they'll take years. I know a girl, she was sick of people commenting, like her husband died young, like, and every time they'd see her, they'd be whispering, there's the one that buried her husband. And someday, like, she just lost it in a shopping center. She heard them, there's the one that buried the husband. And she roared out, what did you effing well want me to do? Stuff him and put him up in the mantelpiece?
stay there for a second, Maureen and John. Let me just go to Joe.
They say enough of it. They say enough of war situations on news bulletins.
Oh, well, they shouldn't. I mean, no, they wouldn't show anything like that on the news before 9 o'clock at night.
But they show horrific stuff.
No, not before 9 o'clock at night. And they'll always give a, like, if they're going to show, say, you know, the aftermath of a bomb. Firstly, they usually blur out any bits that are quite graphic. And secondly, they'll always say before on any reputable news station, they'll give people a warning that there's graphic content.
They also see the destruction that is left behind, so they have a fair
idea. But children
idea.
Shouldn't see that. I would never let a child see the aftermath of a bomb explosion.
Well, I always go by age appropriate, and I've always done that, and I continue to do it with my grandchildren as well.
Okay, we'll stay there. Joseph, hi, how are you?
Hi there. No, thank you for having me on, Ian. I want to tell you a little story. It'll be short, but this is many years ago. I had a friend, a neighbour of mine, it was herself and her sister, and they must have been about, well, say, 15, 13 years old. And they found out that year that their dad had cancer, and I think it got to the stage where it was terminal. So they knew he was going to die, and they were preparing the family. They were trying to get the girls to understand what was happening. And then one morning, just as they were going to school, the eldest girl, my friend, she walked in, and she found her mother dead. The bed with an aneurysm.
God.
Yeah, that's a very sad story, I know, and I don't know how it went down in their heads and what's happened to them since, but basically, you can't avoid death. These kids at some point, at some time, and you don't know when, are going to encounter death. So the best thing to do is to get ready for it as soon as you can, and to let them know.
But to be fair, Joseph, very few children between the age of 16, well, 1 and 16 years of age, are going to experience seeing somebody dying.
But you don't know that. You don't know who will and who won't. And it might be in the case of, you know, it's the family cat that gets run over by a car. It might be whatever. But they have to understand that things are gone and they're gone away. And this is, look, it's tough, but life is meant to be tough. It's not meant to be an easy ride. And we have built up this...
You don't put that on them at 4 and 6. I mean, life is tough enough.
Sorry, can you still hear me?
He said you don't put that I don't know if you have your case on your phone again, Joseph, but he said...
I'm taking it off there just now.
Okay. He said life is tough enough without putting that in a child.
They're going to grow up, fast enough. I mean, kids today are growing up too fast anyway. And I mean, to put this on them as well, I mean, I think that was totally wrong.
Go back 50, 70 years ago, kids knew a lot more about death then than they do now. They would have people die around them, like mortality and all of this was much higher back in the day. So kids were used to that. That's how people grew up and accepted this is part of life and I'm lucky to be alive. Now we have them coddled that they grew up age.
Yeah, but just because, I mean, once upon a time, I mean, everyone was dragged to funeral homes and graveyards and whatever them into hospitals. I mean, that doesn't mean there was 100% right for their mental health. We know a lot more now about a child's development. And I think if you can at all, protect them for as long as you can.
No, that's not the right approach with kids. You can't coddle them for as long as you can because the world is going to get in there. Way you can't control, and it's going to control.
But Jason, but hold on, Joseph. That sounds like you're throwing in the towel. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just sounds like. I mean, yes, there are certain things that you need to expose them to as they grow up at different points in their life, because by the time they're 18 years of age, you want them to be a well-rounded person who is exposed to most things and who understands life. But you pick and choose the ages at which you expose your children to these things.
Well, yes, you do. You hope to, but you always have to do it as early as possible.
Yeah, no, I disagree with you, but not too early. Like, you wouldn't let a child of, say, 8 see two people having sex, would you?
No, you wouldn't do it in that way. But
Is not worse than death. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Sex is not worse than death.
You know, you explain to kids as soon as you can, where babies come from.
Of course, yeah.
You don't do it in graphic detail.
But you want to preserve innocence. The whole idea with a child is preserving innocence. I had no idea where a baby came from until I was about at least 9 or 10 years of age.
You don't bring a four.
Mammy's bum, as far as I knew.
Into a maternity ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's doing it the right way and there's doing it in the wrong way.
Like, you don't bring a four-year-old into a maternity ward.
Now, that's not a way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Maureen said her grandchild or whatever it was saw a picture of, you know, the aftermath of an abortion.
And now,
obviously the child was okay with it, and that's fine. But that's a bit of a gamble. The child might not have been okay with it.
Again, it does depend on how you do it. You can do these things badly, you can do them right. Now, I'm just thinking a funeral for an elderly relative is probably the best way to go about it. It's peaceful, it's natural, it's after a long life, everyone's there, they're supporting, they're happy. That's probably the best way to do it. You're not going to bring them down to the morgue and see, like, look, there's 50 bodies here and everyone dies all the time. You know, that's a way to terrify a child. You can do it right, you can do it wrong. But I think doing it right as soon as possible is the only way to do it. Again, what do the kids do if they do encounter someone who's just passed very recently, and you know these things happen,
but that would be rare. That would be quite rare that a child would be exposed to that accidentally, by the way. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's the same reason you take out insurance in your house. If there is a fire, which is rare, you want to be ready for it.
Yeah, but I mean, a naked man could run down the street. You're giving me what ifs, Joseph. A naked man could run down the street tomorrow and your child could get exposed to that. There's nothing you can really do about it, right? It can happen. But that would be a rare thing to happen. It would be an unusual thing to happen, just like a person dying in front of your child would be an unusual thing to happen. They're not common things to happen. The only time a child gets to see a dead body is, generally speaking, if you bring the child to see the dead body.
Generally, yeah. But again, like, there's no point in not doing it. There's no point in coddling the child because they're at that stage. If it's done right, and this is the thing I have to stress, if it's done right, they can take in and absorb absolutely anything. And they can say, this is part of the world that I'm growing up in. People do grow old and die, and that will affect their mindset. The earlier you set them that mindset that this is kind of a limited life, you have, hopefully, if you're good, 90, 100 years, and to make the most of that and to make sure that, you know, when you get to that stage, you're happy to accept death. You're happy to you know, say, I've lived a good life. I think that a lot of people these days have that mindset of basically, you know, I don't think about death, I'm immortal. And then they make all sorts of really stupid decisions later on. And they're acting like children the whole time. I think this is one of the biggest problems we have is modern society. A lot of people are acting like children. They have immaturity. They don't seem to see themselves growing up to be, you know, moving on to the next step. They want to stay as children for as long as they can. And that's our fault. We have to push people to, you know, face the reality of the world as adults as soon as possible.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there. Let me just go to Anne. Anne, hi, how are you?
Anne, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Sorry, I know there's a bit of an echo there, sorry. Go go ahead, Anne. I do apologise.
Yeah, I disagree with the guy who's just talking. Everyone keeps on. I actually cringe when I hear people saying, you know, you underestimate children. We're actually overestimating children. You're putting so much emotional baggage on their head by the time they're seven. You're like, make this decision. You know, it's too much. And talking about bringing a child to see a dead body, look, each of their own. I wouldn't bring mine. You know, my son was crying the other night because he asked me about what happens when you die.
Okay. How old is he?
Seven. So yeah. I have a 9-year-old as well. And the brother called me up and said, look, he's actually crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, what happens when you die? Like, do you just sit in a black room all the time forever and no one talks to you? And I said, well,
terrible,
no.
Isn't the child
got really
well,
deep,
actually, we don't underestimate children because some
can
children...
Can I just finish it, though? Can I just finish it, though? Because you all have your
Hang
on, Maureen. I'll let you respond. Just let Anne finish what she wants to say.
Yeah. But people do keep on saying, you know, you're underestimating children, you're coddling children. It's like, they want them to be 25 at 5. You know, it's like, you have to show them dead bodies. Otherwise, they'll never know what happens when a dead person... There's plenty of time to find out about it. If you want to bring them and see their granny has passed away, fair enough. I think 4 and 6, I think it's abusive, to be honest with you, to bring small little children in around like dead bodies. And they're, you know, and they're going to have nightmares over it. And you're like, well, and the other guy said, well, they might not, they're all making silly decisions in life because we're coddling them because they don't know what death is. That's ridiculous.
But that's what I said to Joseph. I believe there's a time and a place to expose children to certain things.
There's a time and a place, okay. There is. But if we're talking about the 4 and 6-year-old, for me, I'm thinking, God almighty, do you ever want them to have a good night's sleep again? Like,
well, hang on for a second, Anne. Maureen, there you go. Anne believes it's like child abuse to bring a child to see somebody in a coffin.
I'll tell you about child abuses then.
Oh, we know what child
abuse
is.
You bring a 4-year-old to the library and see a fella dressed in a dress. Literally,
I don't
Christmas
do that. I wouldn't do that.
Well, some parents do. But they
won't mind because you showed your child. You said,
hang on a second.
You showed
the
kid a fetus. Exactly.
No, you hang on. I'm answering you. I'm not the one that's taking my grandchildren down to see
you. No, you just showed them a birth
of
fetuses.
And you're talking about people coddling children. Why don't people shield their children against that? Besides shielding them against the natural cycle of life.
Did you show a child an aborted fetus? Did you show a child an aborted fetus?
She saw it.
And the aftermath of the bomb.
And I explained it to her. Yes, when she saw it, I explained it to her. Yes, I did. My grandchildren come to the grave every time I'm going to my parents' grave. I have a 3-year-old who understands it.
That's a lovely thing.
Yes, she
understands
it.
You have a 3-year-old that understands
people.
Okay.
Well, I don't, Maureen, with respect, I don't know many 3-year-olds that would understand death.
Them to be 13. They're like, my child is old.
We don't. I didn't want
I'm 60 and I still don't really understand it, but however. I don't know, Maureen, at 3, you know, whether you could even
because
explain
she
death.
Me, Niall.
You know, no,
she
but yeah, but I, okay, so, yeah, but what do you say to a 3-year-old when granny dies?
She was in the chapel with me one day when she saw it was a funeral mass on, and she sometimes asked me, can we go to the Holy God, Nana? She goes of her own volition. She can genuflect, she can bless herself.
Great, yeah, okay.
She did all that from watching me. right? I never told.
I know. And what I'm asking you is, how do you explain death to a 3-year-old? You just say they're gone to Holy God. Is that what you say?
To her, they were. I said, my mammy and daddy, and she said, why have they gone to heaven, Nana? I said, because they got sick, and it was time for them to go home. And I said, Lucy is her name. I said, Lucy, one day we will all go home. But I'm going to finish up on a very funny one. We were at the breakfast table one morning. I was minding them. The parents were away. So she asked me again, Nana, where's your mammy and daddy? I explained it to her. They're in heaven. Oh, yes, she, that's up in the sky. I said, it is. It's very high up. But she came up with the best one I ever heard. I said, Charlie can't go. That's my eldest granddaughter. So I said to her, why? Because she's afraid of heights. Oh, I thought it was the best I ever heard from, but that's the innocent of a 3-year-old.
Okay, thank you for that, Maureen. So, and in this email that we got in, you would agree with the wife on this, because the husband
I would
wants...
agree with not taking them, just going on my own children, and everyone's children are different, but I just think pushing adult situations on kind of small kids, but they're scared. You have to leave a nightlight on for them. I have a nightlight for my kids. Yeah. So you want me to show them like a dead body and then try to say, you know, now go to sleep now, have nice dreams. Okay. I just think it's too much. And for me anyway, I wouldn't bring my kids to it, but I know some people are okay
with
it.
Did you ever go? Would you go? Like, if there was an open casket, would you go? And
we weren't brought. My grandmother...
No, but even as an adult, would you go?
Would I go? My heart races when I go into a funeral home and I actually lose my breath.
I know this sounds bad. I even felt uncomfortable at my own mother and father's funeral when the casket was open in the funeral home. I felt really
my heart races from the time that you queue up.
I felt I just had to. I would have rather have not done it, but I didn't want to be disrespectful to my sister and you know, other people that were there, you know. So I just said I better go in. And I was at the time I was 50, but I still didn't want to do it. I would rather remember my mother. I remember my mother when she was younger. I remember my father when he was younger. I don't want to remember the people I seen lying in a coffin. That's not what I want.
No, my friend's mother died years ago. I went to the funeral home, queued up, really emotional, like I hear people crying, I started crying. I got up to the casket and I was at the wrong funeral home and I had to shake everyone's hand.
No, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
I had to shake everyone's hands crying, not knowing anyone. Get out into the car and get to the right funeral home.
Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Nuala. Stay there, Anne. Nuala, hi.
How are you? How's it going?
How you doing? Nuala, you think it's okay to bring a child to an open casket?
I mean, like I know from in Galway that everybody, if a person is well known, it's a kind of maybe a 2 to 3 hour affair, you know, people queuing up. And but I think, like, I wouldn't say it's not.
It's like a morbid curiosity, isn't it? I'd go, so yeah, go.
Well, I don't know. That you know the person. You know them. And,
but why do you want to see them dead? Why do you want to see them dead? Just remember them from when they were alive.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't see that has seen them. You know, any of them that I have seen, a good few of them, they look so calm and so restful. I remember seeing my aunt.
Oh, that's because they're dead. Of course they look calm and restful.
But they look like...
What do you want them to do? Be sitting up in the coffin singing their brains out?
Well, my auntie looked like she got the cream.
But you know what? Sorry, you know what's funny? The last time I saw something like this was an auntie come. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I went over to the house, but I didn't expect her. I just went over to see the uncle because, you know, to give him my condolences, him and his sons. I didn't think they had her in the house. And I walked in and I said, listen, lads, sorry, really sorry to hear about her, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, do you want to come in and see her? I was too late. I couldn't back out at that stage. So they brought me in and there was a load of the neighbours all in the room, right? And this real Irish thing of, she looks lovely, doesn't she? I've never seen her looking better. And I'm going, the woman was torn with cancer for 5 years. She was ripped apart by it. And of course she looks grand now because she's asleep or whatever, dead. And they're all going, she looks so much better. I bet you, look, she looks really happy. I mean, who's happy to be dead? Yeah, I mean, all these silly things that we come out with to make us feel better, Nuala.
Well, I mean, I think that maybe they do a better job in Galway, the undertakers, because any of them I've seen look fairly well.
They look marvellous, you know, do they?
Sorry, you shouldn't be laughing, but I thought they looked good. You know, I never... But one thing now I wouldn't like...
It's a lovely dress, Anna, isn't it?
One thing now I didn't find kind of hard is when a relation died and he was young, in his 20s, and he was it looked really nice laid out. But now that frightened me because he was so young and you think he has his whole life ahead for him. That's more traumatic. When it's an older person, you know, they've lived their life, they've had children or they've had jobs and they've made loads of friends and, you know...
Well, then just remember them as they are. The same goes for kids. Getting back to bringing kids in. That's look, you're an adult. You can make a decision if you want to see it and have memories of that. That's fine. That's your decision. But are the 2 hours of people queuing up in Galway. But in saying that, for a child or a 4 or 6 year old, you know what I mean? You're forcing them to see that. Is that appropriate?
Well, I don't think they'd see very much because, I mean, they're
seeing a dead person.
Too small to be looking in the coffin unless somebody lifts them up.
Well, they do sometimes. Look at you ready.
But I mean, I think they wouldn't be able to stay very long because, you know, kids at that age are
I've seen parents making their kids kiss them on the forehead. Or whatever.
Well, I don't know about that now.
Well, hang on. Let me just go to Jude as well. Jude, hi.
Hello, now.
How you doing? Jude, I just know what you're going to say because I know you have a morbid, weird opinion of life in general. But go on.
I think if a child should make a choice, no child should ever be forced. But there was a lady there talking saying it's child abuse.
Yeah.
Child abuse is rape, incest, or physical abuse.
It's not a child to emotional abuse. You can have emotional abuse as well.
Yeah. It's not illegal to bring a child to. I'm all for it. I have no problem with it myself. Like my son, he had the best of both worlds. He saw the stiff before it was cremated, and then he saw the ashes. Great.
The stiff.
Yeah, the corpse.
Okay. Of who? His granny?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That was your mother,
and she was cremated.
Yeah.
My granny.
Oh, your granny. Oh, okay. His great granny. Yeah, his great granny.
Yeah, it's great-granny, my granny. But I have no problem with it because, like, there was a gentleman, there was a few other calls saying, it is part of the cycle of born, then you die. Yep.
There's lots of things are natural in life. As I said earlier, having sex is natural in life, but you wouldn't let a 4 or 6 year old into the bedroom and go, come on in and watch Mammy and Daddy at it. Do you know what I mean?
No, but then again, that's just not going through. We're going to a funeral wake. I have no problem with a child seeing it. Like when my child was younger, he's seen lots of things. Other children, it all depends on the child. Every child.
Yeah, you brought your child to a bullfighting match, for God's sake. If I remember right.
Yeah, he's been to an abattoir. He's been to bullfighting. I brought him to Dachau, brought him to Lublin. Still no trauma. He's a perfectly grown ass man now. No problem.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem.
There you go, Anne, it's not child abuse. How dare you even suggest it's abuseful?
I just think they're too young for us. As you said, there's lots of things that happen in the world. They don't have to see it all. They're very young. They're like sponges. They absorb that sorrow from a funeral, I think, anyway. I think kids are very impressionable and everyone is crying in there. I mean, is every funeral absolutely...
But every child is different.
People are smiling. They are. No, of course they are. I'm just saying like that. The funerals I've been to, people have been so sad and crying and... they're so emotional, and I just think they're very young to kind of take all that in, I think.
Hold on, let me just give this a few more minutes because I have to go to Sarah and Breda as well. Stay there, please, Alan, Jude. Sarah, hi.
How's it going, Niall?
Unfortunately, I'm rushed for time and I've got about 3 minutes. I have to go to Breda as well, but go on.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you need a smack of a wet fish day insulting your auntie that had a beard or a moustache.
That was Christmas time. Do you remember Christmas? Go over and give your auntie a kiss before you go. And one of my aunties had a moustache. I didn't want to kiss her.
That's terrible.
But she did have a moustache.
It doesn't make any odds. You don't be... That dies abuse. That's exactly what dies pure abuse. That's elder abuse.
Your dad be looking at you. I said, kiss her. Give her a kiss.
Not at all. Listen, come here. In regards to children in a casket, like, you know, I don't think it's a huge problem. I think it's part of the process, you know. You know, but there is, like, as that lady spoke about, like, children do have heads at that age, like sponges, and they do soak up. And rule themselves, I believe. I dressed my mother, and me and my sister, we dressed my mother, and we had no problem. I've been around many a death. I've dressed many dead people. And my brother lost a 2-week-year-old baby, and that broke my heart, Niall.
Yeah.
I thought I was a strong person. like, even thinking about it now, like, that broke me. As one of the callers said there, like, an older person has lived their life. When you see a younger person...
Oh, no, I know, it's always
harder. ...hasn't lived their life.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally different.
Yeah, newness of the time, it's true.
And this thing you spoke about as well, like, I've often seen, as I said, there was an artery in the place where I worked, and I've seen the father lifting the child up to give his mother, on, kiss your grandmother, like, and the child hadn't a clue what was going on, like, and then you'd have another daughter, his daughter sitting in the corner, like, all tensed up, and... You know, it is an emotional time. Emotions are flying everywhere.
But you're more used to seeing death, Sarah, because of your job, by the way, because you work in the healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm saying to you is, do you think it's Anne thinks it's not appropriate, although Jude doesn't have an issue with it, it's not appropriate to bring a 4 or 6 year old in to see a dead body in a coffin, particularly in a coffin?
Not so long ago, I lost my father-in-law and my stepdaughter. She was 12 at the time. And we didn't force her out and went back to house and Scaries and the coffin was there. And, you know, she walked into the room once and did a U-turn and walked back out and that was it.
Mm.
And it was only a couple of months later after that we were sitting down talking about it. Like, and like she did turn around and say it was pretty scary. And, you know, like, and like when you think of it like that, like you have to put it in perspective for their feeling.
Mm.
But then when my grandfather died, like, I'll never forget the time the guards were knocking on the door and my father was standing on top of the stairs, like, and he was like, you're just still going to school, like, we all went to school, we didn't even go to the funeral and we were children at the time, like.
Well, that was the way it kind of was in those days. You were kind of, you know, you weren't really informed much about it. Anyway, hold on a second, I need to go to Breda. Breda, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Breda. Breda, okay, just getting back to the original topic, I suppose. Anne thinks there's nothing wrong with it to expose your children to...
No, I agree with her. I agree. Like, my lady saw her first probably talk when she was about 4. Now, she didn't have to go. She had to come down to the funeral home because there's nobody to mind her. And I explained to her what was going on. She knew the man in question. And I said, look, you can come in and sit inside the door. And, of course, she came in and sat down inside the door. And then, of course, curiosity got the better of her. I had explained what was going on. And I said, it's like he's just gone to sleep. And she was literally, she went over and she went, oh, Mummy, he's gone to sleep. And he's gone to Holy Lord. And I said, he has done. And it never...
But you see, you still brought her.
I did bring her.
Yeah, would you not just leave her with a friend or leave her outside?
I literally had no one to leave her with that day.
Ah.
But you're kidding. Not nine.
Leave it outside the door. Outside the door, then.
And so a swiper.
Somebody outside would have known her, and you could have watched her for 10 minutes.
No, I did that before. I would have been very protective about who looked after my daughter, and I certainly wouldn't be leaving her with someone I just know by sight. I wouldn't.
In fairness, Anne, you go to nurses or to funeral homes that aren't even people you know, anyways.
But Niall, yeah. Can I just say to you? Now, the other side of it is, I didn't get to say goodbye to my poor mother, and I'm traumatised to this day about it, and I will never get over, nor will my daughter.
What do you mean? You weren't in the hospital when she died, is it?
No, I wasn't there when she died, and she's a closed coffin because of stupid COVID rules.
Oh.
So we never got to say goodbye to her. I never got to hold her hand one last time.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have abided by those COVID rules.
But you're a grown woman, so it wouldn't...
Mm.
We didn't have a choice, Niall. That's the way it was. 10 people in the church, you know, like, it was just horrific. Her grandkids standing outside the door listening to it on a
video. Well, I'm glad I didn't have to, you know, deal with any of those COVID rules at the time. I was in a very lucky position, of course, that I worked in media, so I had an exemption. I had a letter to say I was a journalist and I had an exemption, so I could travel. I wasn't restricted to 5 or 6 kilometres. But I can tell you now, if I was, I would have broke the law and I would have travelled outside the 5 or 6 kilometre because I had no respect for those particular rules. I had also no respect for people who weren't allowed. I can tell you now, if my parents had been in a hospital dying somewhere, this whole nonsense of people weren't allowed in, I'd have broke into the hospital. Wild dogs wouldn't have stopped me being there with my parents when they died. And the government should be ashamed of themselves that they allow that to happen.
100%. 100%. I am traumatised to my dying day. I'll never get over it.
Yeah, no, that's shocking. And I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But that's why I think it's very important that kids learn that there is a way to say goodbye to somebody. They don't just disappear out of your life. You can't.
Yeah, but what about Jude bringing his kid to a bullfight match?
But no, I wouldn't agree with that. I think that's quite.
Don't think most people.
I think vote fighting is horrific. I don't think.
But I didn't care what other people think.
clearly not. He says he doesn't care what other people think.
Ah, well, that's great. That's a good way to be. Like, I don't care what most people think about me either. Like, but I you know, some things I just think. Too far.
I think even adults go
to
both.
You're entitled to that. That's okay. But I brought my son to lots of things that other people wouldn't have said. I brought him to Isle Abbotsford, brought him bullfighting. He's been to Lublin, Dachau. I brought him to loads of things, and he's experienced the look of death. And he has no problem with it.
But I think bullfighting is horrific. I think there's nothing.
It won't last much longer, bullfighting. It'll be banned completely very soon.
I would imagine so, yes. Yeah,
it will, it won't. It will, they,
it will
they,
go underground. It won't be banned. It will go underground.
Well, maybe go underground. Listen, Anne, Jude, Breeda, thank you very much indeed to all of you, by the way, for getting involved in the show today. Loads and loads of people, by the way, still texting in and WhatsApping in. Let me just read out one or two of your messages before we move on. Orla says on WhatsApp, you should never tell young kids that when people die, they're going to sleep. This can cause a great fear of kids going asleep. Well, you're right, actually, that's right. Because they have to go asleep, they feel they might die. Yeah, that's a good point, Orla. Carol says, personally, I prefer to remember people as they were, never look the same in death. You're right, I prefer to remember as how they were. Ask Morris what you say if you're not Christian and heaven doesn't exist and the child knows that. Well, look, I don't believe in God, but I would often refer to, you know, the little kids, say they're going to see holy God or they're going to heaven, because I think it's just a nice thing to say, isn't it? It doesn't matter that they don't believe in God or you believe in God. It's better than just saying they're dead. It's a bit final, isn't it? Anne-Marie says, I wouldn't bring my kids to see someone in a coffin. I think it would give them nightmares. Now, somebody else says, you're being very nice to people who believe in God. I thought you were an atheist. Oh, there you go. See, I just mentioned a minute ago. Yeah, I'm probably the most religious atheist you will ever find. In other words, I think I have good moral values, even though I'm an atheist. I consider myself very Christian-like, even though I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe that God exists. I believe when you die, and that's the end of it. But in saying that, I'm probably the most Christian atheist you'll find, because I would have the same morals and same beliefs as a lot of Christians. Anyway, thank you to everybody, by the way, for listening to the show today, for getting involved with the show. We could have gone on for hours and hours and hours, particularly on the first topic tonight. Today, we could have gone on for hours and hours in relation to voting. A lot of people want us to ban Saoirse from the show. No, we don't ban or censor anybody from the show unless they say something really outrageous and get us into trouble. We don't ban anybody. And even that, we'll try our best to defend them. So please, please, please support the show. It is a great platform. Every day we try to do at least one news story and maybe a social dilemma. Some days, like yesterday, we'll do two news stories. We try our best to vary it a little bit, but we want to continue to do what's in the news as well. We will be talking about the hate speech laws over the next few days, by the way, because, of course, that's now very important in Irish news. And just like the referendum, we want to give everybody an opportunity to get your voice out there. The government, the mainstream media in this country won't give you that opportunity. You try your best to get on to Joe Duffy and do that, you won't be allowed to say some of the things that you say on this show, on the Joe Duffy show, or indeed on any show, including the Open Line in Cork, including Neil Penderville, including the rest of them. There are a lot of things that you will not be allowed to say in the air, but you can say them on this show because it's a podcast and it's not governed by the broadcasting regulations. So please, please, please support us to continue to do this. We are Ireland's only fully interactive podcast. I know others claim they are. We're the only one that's fully interactive. We have guests on Zoom. We've got a very professional setup, as you can see, but it costs a lot of money every single month. So please support us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. We could really do with your help. It's getting close to, again, to the end of the month when all the bills have to be paid. And I can tell you now, we don't have enough. We never do. We always have to put our hands in our own pockets, and we don't get paid for doing this. So please, please try and support us, at least to cover our costs. You can subscribe on the website, nileboylan.com, or you can donate there. Even if you just want to donate a fiver or a tenner or 20 quid, anything up to 5 million, you can donate what you want by going to the website now, nileboylan.com. Please do it. Thank you for supporting the show. We'll be back with you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day. Yeah, we better do it ourselves.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085 100 2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.